something.
Okay.
You know, in 1975, 2 weeks after the missionaries, they came to our country. I had one friend, his English was good compared to me at that time. And he was way better looking than I was looking. I had a mustache and I had a bad hair, looking kind of wild. And very interesting how I got to get friends with this guy. In a moment, in like less than 5 minutes, me and him became such a close friend, we couldn't separate. So we used to go to a park, and suddenly we both were medical students. He was studying medicine, I was in dentistry. And then that park was the holy ground there. Mm-hmm. For 1965, he came and made a holy ground there. Of course, at that time, he didn't know.
What city in?
Tehran. Yeah, we have in holy ground, we have one holy ground that's in Tehran. And there is a park, big park beside the big university, Tehran University, that we have there. So, me and him, we are studying, walking by there. When we were passing by, I saw two strange ladies. There was one German missionary, her name is Beate Lovers, and Susan Settlement, they were sitting beside each other. They were eyeing us, but they were eyeing my friend more than they eyed me. And then we went, and they were following us. And I didn't care. We went there and we started studying, and I saw them, they approached my friend, and one of the words he was trying to ask, my friend was trying to know the together in our Farsi, in the Farsi name, you know, or wants to know what, how do you say together in Farsi. And then, you know, my friend started talking to them, and I went there and we started talking, and my English was very poor. I mean, you have to look like a talk like a book, and like a very little sentence, I can get something, otherwise I wouldn't understand anything. But his English, he was from south of Iran, where the British, they were there for a long time, so their English was way better. So he would understand way better than me. So he would understand what they're talking about, I wouldn't understand. I was just laughing and trying, you know, trying to make the things. So we made a friend, and Susan was very interested in him. His name was Jafar, the one that in the Aladdin, you know. And he was dark, black, from south of Iran. And then Susan dumped me on Beate. So Beate, the German missionary, he was like a 4 months joined the church, and he, you know, they had to choose him as a missionary to come to country. He was kind of a little straight out. So she became friends with me, and then we used to call each other and go here and there out together. And at the beginning, for me, it was interesting that I wouldn't understand what's going on my friend. He would understand, but he would get it in the wrong way. And after a while, he was telling me, oh, you know, they are the missionaries who went to Africa, and then they took their land and gave their Bible, and they're from, oh, you know, kind of political way, because he has some British friends. And so anyway, then we started having some give and take, and then after a while, the German missionary became interested in me. We became a little more close, and then all of a sudden Susan had to jump in between and separate us. So Susan tried to take care of me more than her, and I had no idea what's going on. You know, it took me 2 years to understand the principle, because then by then I could have a better English, and then we could start translating the, you know, principle into the Farsi, so I could grasp something. But I was doing things that it was literally like she was asking me to pray. And when I prayed, I didn't feel that much, but she said she felt all the angels dancing around the room, because that was the first prayer in Farsi that ever happened. I was the first member to join. at the time. Mm. So then that brother, after a while he left. The man, the Japa who was saying he left, he didn't come. He tried to influence me, and he influenced me for a while, but anyway. Then, anyway, like one time we were in the room eating, and then there was two father's picture. Sugar said, oh, he's like a fan. You know, he was on the table. And then once we start eating, and then she takes the picture and put it on the other side. And I went, I bring the picture, I put it on the table. I have no idea what I was doing. I said, if it's a fan, he should be on the table. We got it. And one strange thing for us at the beginning, for me and my friend, was once they got an apartment, first they were living with some friends, everyone had some friends, and then they went to an apartment, they were living there, we moved to their apartment, as soon as we come to their home, we touch anything, we were medical students, we would get diarrhea. Serious diarrhea. And then if we are not with them for a few days, we have no problem. We just come to the house, we touch food, anything, we'll get that idea right away. We try to find out medically, okay, we can take that pill, we can do this, we can do that, we thought, okay, maybe it's some bacteria they brought from Europe. And we try to explain it physically. Later on, of course, we talked to some elder member and they were explaining that, oh, you know, since you guys didn't have any qualification or what, you know, that kind of like not enough qualification or something, because Muslim country was not easy. We had actually one missionary came in 1974 from Holland, first time to our country, but he got involved with the student movement and then he got almost to prison. They kicked him out right away because he got in the wrong class. And during class time, we had some freedom, but kind of careful, because always we had all the leftists over there and all the Muslim fanatics over there that they tried to, we went to a law of persecution, unbelievable persecution for that. Like anybody wanted to get friends with a German missionary, they were ladies and they were crazy. They wanted to have some, you know, physical relationship. And I was the one that had to protect always them and try to kind of, you know, don't let somebody try to harm them or somebody wants to abuse them or something. They wouldn't know the difference. Like sometimes they talk on the phone to the guy and I would try to listen and I see the guy talking in my language to some other person that, you know, different things than what he's telling them, with a different motivation, then I had to warn them, okay, be careful, this guy has that kind of motivation, so be careful. Don't go along with him somewhere, we go, I come with you, and you know. And I had the same problem too, like some girl would come to us, and they would get attracted to me, and then Susan, even without telling me, she would just come in between, naturally. There is a lot to say about it. I don't know how long I'm permitted to say, but after 2 months of day change, then a Japanese missionary came, Ryuichi Kuranaga. He was a wonderful, wonderful brother. Naturally saying Susan is a spiritual mother, but he's not. He was the spiritual father. He was blessed, but he had some problem with his wife. He came, first he couldn't speak anything. His English was not good. Of course, partly he didn't know anything. All he could do is just give some massage, and me actually used to sleep on the flat floor. He didn't have anything to put under his cover. You would wake up in the morning all cramped on us because you sleep on the hard floor. Mm-hmm. Spiritually there was a lot of pressure from everywhere. After I lived with them in one apartment for a while, the neighbors, they thought we are doing some wrong things. you know, one guy leaving with two ladies, they thought maybe something going on. And the mother of the guy approached us, and there was a lot of problems. You know, she called things off, then he called the cops, and la-la-la, and we didn't like cops to come, because we were, you know, we wanted to do things more different ways, and the open way was not easy to do the open way, so it was a lot of problem. I know that the missionaries, they did marvelous job. They went through a lot. They went through a lot. As all the others. But of course, you know, the most faithful one, incredible one was Susan Sutherland. That, you know, was from America. She was incredible spirit.
And she
survived through all procedures. But then the German sister and the Japanese brother didn't survive. They have to leave the church. Anyway.
You have to leave what?
They leave the church. They married the church together and they leave. But anyway, I don't blame them, because the incredible circumstances there was not easy for nobody. I mean, Susan really was incredible. She of course everybody makes mistakes. She, everybody else, she has here and there something, but the point was, no matter what we make a mistake, we have to stay on the boat. You know, otherwise if you leave the boat, then that's the problem.
Right.
That is going to happen. And of course, you know, there was so much for the witnessing that we had to do, so much for the multiple way of fundraising. It's so fun matters when we did fundraising. And then too many stories about those that maybe some of the time I can share for it, but definitely the Holy Spirit words was kind of like too much acting. The Muslims, they find out about us, they start persecuting, and then in its apartment we went, they had to just kick us out, because it makes no sense, like some young man and woman live together in some places, they are not relatives, they are not things, and to the eyes of so many people, it's strange. And I mean, thank God, the seed was God there when you went, that would became the hell.
Yeah.
Still, we had a lot of chance. Actually, in whole Middle East, the only country, because at that time, our country was so free, all the missionaries, they would come to our country from whole Middle East, from Israel, from Jordan, from Kuwait, from Saudi Arabia, all over Afghanistan. And they would stay a few days with us, a couple of weeks and things, so they would go back or whatever they had to transition, they would come to us. So we had a chance to see them. None of them had any success.
Mm-hmm.
Iran was the only country who had a member from the country. Like, they had friends and things like that, but they couldn't share openly, or even if they could share, somehow it didn't work out.
Mm-hmm.
People wouldn't get it, there was no foundation. Mm-hmm. Iran really had a good foundation. Satan really took it by force. We had a very good chance that we would progress like this. Some of our early members, they were Jewish, they were Zoroastrian, they were, you know, like me, Shiite, Muslim, and they were, you know, we had from every direction like this. You really feel there is some problem for the people who would come and join. I'm sure all of you guys have all this experience about that. It's not just one person joined by just accident or something like that. No, there was so much preparation for each person. When you talk to each person and find out there is a history behind it. It's not just, it's just one thing in the moment that person got
a
chance. And then you will know how God really was desperate working, you know, to prepare the people to join. And really, I mean, at that time of the history for our church, that our church was under so much persecution in America, Father sent the most brilliant members to the country who have a missionary. Can you imagine?
Mm-hmm.
Like, you're just sending three people. First, they can't even unite, they fight each other, and then they have to witness and do incredible things that is the most difficult thing in some strange country. with all the same background and things, and there is no foundation. Like here, you have a Christianity. It's very different.
Yeah.
You gotta go to the Muslim country, you will know what is the difference. It's extreme different. There is extreme difference. You won't find so much foundation over there. Even after passing many, many years, you can imagine at those times, there was a lot of problems there. And there is no foundation so much, so it would be very difficult for Christianity. But thank God, I have to thank God and two parents. You know, I had my personal problems, millions of them. But I never had the problem with the two parents, with the education church, with the principal. I never had problem with that. I always knew this is right. And I accepted it, and you know, I was with it. And anytime there was something going on, like there was a time right after the revolution, one of the brothers translated the book, you know, A Prophet Speaks Today. And I was telling, I was the bestseller of that book. And, you know, it was just incredible times, you know, even though it was dangerous. From it to rescue, and there was a lot of persecution from outside. We focused, and many people would get attracted to it, and we will feel especially like it, you know, a lot of blessings would come. And there was a funny story I have. I was supposed to come for a 40-day workshop to America in 1978. And Susan told me, before you go, you have to have a 7-day fasting. But before, we never had anything like that in our country. So first, to do 7-day fasting, I did a 3-day fasting. And then I had to wait 2 days, and then I saw 7-day fasting. Okay. We did the 7-day fasting. And then I never heard after 7-day fasting what you have to do. I have no concept. 7-day fasting finished. And the next day, my friends, they invited me to a restaurant. I went there, and there is a shish kebab to look at of everything. I ate 6 meals that each person eats. I ate, and I still was not full. Nobody told you after 7 days you don't eat. Like, you got to eat. You know, Japanese, they know this tradition, but we never knew, and Susan never shared about this thing so much. So next, the night after, I got food poisoning, because body can't digest, you know, after the stomach shrinks that small, and then we just put that much heavy food, like meat and other. Next day morning, I was throwing up, and then one brother came to me, Susan said, let's gather for the prayer in the morning. So I couldn't go, and he was negative to me. He went and said to son, Mama is not coming. I said, my name is Jose. And then she was furious. She was ready to slap me. And I was afraid if I come to pray, I'm going to throw up the whole thing there. You know, then anyway, we had a lot of things that... But I was so faithful for the 7-day fasting. On the 7th day, I was pushing a car for 1 hour, and I had no problem. I was, you know, I was spiritually prepared. I was not, you know, having hard time or anything like that. Well, anyway, the point was, many of us, because we didn't have any Christian background, was difficult, you know, because in our country, as soon as you hear about Christianity with a Muslim background, it just fake. It's just like we say, hey, you know, Christians are lost and la 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 la, because they have 4 Bibles, they don't have 1 God, they have 3 God, and this is enough, you know, to just put it aside, you know, it's just they are lost. And for me, to understand Christianity was never something easy to understand. But when I read the principle, especially about the Christology. Then I understand, you know, what is the Christianity, you know, what is Jesus. I had a very special feeling about Jesus. And then I start having relationship. Then I read the Bible, I understand. Okay, I understand. Before I would never understand. You have to know how precious you are, principally. Really. I mean, for the Muslims to come to Christianity, there's a lot of struggle. You don't understand the things that doesn't match it. You don't understand with the culture. You don't understand the things. It's still up to this day. Catholics, they can't even explain about Trinity. You don't know ever if Jesus is God or is not God or what is it, or, you know, but in the theology, in the divine principle, it's so clear. Mm-hmm. Everything is just two by two. Mm-hmm. So then, but for us it took a long time to translate. So for me it took 2 years to translate the book and try to understand it. But then later on, when the other members, they joined, we had a translation. Mm-hmm. And there was, you know, some members who knew something, they could translate something. So kind of, for us at that time, it's not like in America, there's a church and you join the church, you go for a workshop and you go down and it's the same language and you will listen and then they bring the verses from the Bible, you can understand easier. Over there was everything so confusing. Everything was so confusing. You don't know what's going on, you don't understand what's the thing. And then there is no translation, there is no good English, non English.
It's
some people take it granted. The first day they joined, they went to the 7 days or 40 days workshop. I hear, I am so jealous. Wow, you know. And then you see so many brothers and sisters around you that they are there can explain to you, but over there was nothing like that.
Mm-hmm.
Everything was primitive. But anyway, you know, that helps a lot, you know, when you come to a community, you see a lot of people there. Yeah. And you know, you will get some support, but once you don't have it, then it's kind of more difficult. So really, the incredible job was by the missionaries to really change to the strange place, and they got so much persecution really, by everything, by spirit, by people, by culture, everything was shocked for them to know what's going on. And
how about your family? How was your family?
You know, the good thing about me was actually, first of all, I grew up in the family with 9 children.
Mm-hmm.
None of them ever graduated from middle school.
Oh, really?
I was the only one who graduated from high school. And I went up. And so, family, boys have full authority. Girls, they are so limited, they can't even come out of the home without permission. But the boys, because since I was a child, like 3-4 years old, I had to work outside and make my own money. I supported my whole education by myself. I had to work. So this gives you some kind of authority. And since you are a boy, like a man's country, so kind of boys have more power than the girls. So there was nobody controlling me or anything like that. I had the full power to do anything. That friend who joined with me, he later on went to my parents and said so many negative things. And they tried in their own way to kind of stop me. They did things, but they didn't have that much power over me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, of course, you go through some persecution here and there, especially if somebody says something about Christianity, forget it, you're doomed. But it's okay, you know. For me, it was kind of like, you know, I could have my independence and I could go through the way I have to go. So kind of was not that hard for me. But there were some brothers and sisters financially. I was not financially on my family at all. I was all by myself. I was helping them, so they helping me. But there were some brothers that they were supported by their families, and they had a hard time if the parents they opposed. Some kind of like it would hard from you, but then on my case, no, it didn't work that way. So kind of I had a better hand on that way. So.
Can you find
Aiden?
Yeah, she.
Can I drive you
back?
Yeah, she's
just
too
old.
Yeah.